Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 3-4 lines from the top of Daf Samach Gimel. On the third line from the top, there is a simen, and it's essentially a method of remembering the points that will be mentioned in the upcoming Gemara. If you notice, on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note. The diamond is featured. These are Sidro Shel Memros Shel Reb Elazar. We're going to see a series of comments made by Reb Elazar. So the first word in the simen we call it the mnemonic, is the word Isha. The apostrophe indicates that it's a simon, and we're not focusing on the word per se, but rather it's a memory device. The first diamond introduces Reb Elazar's halacha regarding a person that doesn't have a wife. The next is related to karka, to land. And the third halacha is related to ezer. And the fourth is related, you can see, is the word zosapam, where the Gemara darshans that particular pasuk, and on and so forth. There are 7 words that are related to the memros of Reb Elazar as they appear. So now, that having been said, we turn to the Gemara. Omar Reb Elazar, kol adam she'ein loy isha, einoy adam, a person that is without wife. A man that is without wife is not a person. Shnemar zochor unekeva bar'om vayikra es shemam adam. That when you have zochor and ekeva, the male and female, then they are called adam. But without the zochor alone, without the nekeva, without the female, zochor is the male, nekeva the female, the zochor, the male alone, is not called adam. V'omar Reb Elazar, kol adam sheyesh lo karka eino adam. Let's read that again. Kol adam she'ein loy karka, any person that doesn't have land, that doesn't own land, einoy adam, he's not considered a person. Shenemar hashomayim shamayim lashem, the heavens are the Almighty's, ve'oretz nosan livnei adam, and the land he, the Almighty, gave to man. V'yomar Reb Elazar, my dichtiv, this pasuk is from the creation story, where the woman is made, is created by God for man. Ezer loy ezer kenegdoi. The word ezer, assistance or support, that's for his benefit, and the word kenegdo, we're going to see that it has a negative connotation. So that zocha, if the person merits, he has merit, oizroso, so the woman, the female, the wife, will assist him. If lo zocha, if he doesn't have merit, then kinegdo. And Rashi explains, kinegdo means that, if we look at Rashi together, kinegdo chaluka alav v'soseres dvorov. She disagrees with him and contradicts him at every possible moment. Ika di Amri, another version, Reb Elazar Rami, he raises an inconsistency in the psukim. Ksiv kenegdo, on the one hand you have the word kenegdo, which Rashi explains is a lashon nagdo, meaning lashes. V'karinon, and we read the word kenegdo. We read it with a segol, that's kenegdo. So now, zocha, then kenegdo. And here, ironically, or let's say in contrast to the Aleph drasha of Rebbe Lozer, this is the base drasha. Zoch, if he has merit, then kinegdo, then she will stand opposite him for his benefit. Loi zocha, if he doesn't have merit, then his married life will be menagdoso, like being lashed. So that you see something here, which you can, if you see in different commentaries, you'll notice they point out that it's a function of if a person has merit or doesn't have merit, and it's not necessarily the Gemara does not phrase it in a way that it would read if he is a sinner versus a non-sinner. There's another factor operating here. Not necessarily that's related directly to whether or not the man is a sinner, but that's a topic that one has to look into the commentaries for more elaboration. Ashkechei Rabbi Yossi Le'elio. Rabbi Yossi met the prophet Elio. Omar Le'ksiv, it says in the Pasuk Eselo Ezer that Hashem the Almighty made the woman as an Eizer. B'ma isha oizro sel odom. Through what does the woman help the man? Amale, so Elio answers, odom mevi chitin. A person, a man, he harvests his field. So he brings home wheat. Chitim koises, does a person chew on raw wheat? Pishtan, he harvests flax. Flax is the raw material from which linens are made. Pishtan lovesh, a person... Does a person wear flax reeds around his body? Obviously no. The person, the man, might bring home the raw material, but from that stage onwards, the woman processes it until it's something useful or edible. Lo nimseis meira einav umamidoso al radlov. Does it not result in? Do you not see how she enlightens his eyes, brings light to his eyes, and enables him to stand on his feet? So that the man just does... of course, we're dealing with traditional humanity. This is the way mankind operated from time immemorial, where the man was responsible, say, for the outside work, the bringing in, the producing of the raw materials, but the woman would then process that till its final stage. So, of course, the woman is an Ezer for the man. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv zois hapam etzem me'atzomai uvasor mi'vasori. The Rashi says, zois hapam michlal, we can infer from this language of zos hapam means this time. Bechlal depomim achirim shimesh velo olu badaito. There were other times that things didn't work out, and that will be explained by the Gemara. So Rabbi Elazar says the pasuk which reads zos hapam etzem me'asamay v'som misori malame. This teaches us shebo odom al kol behemo v'chaya. Now here we're going to provide a literal translation. However, there is information found in commentaries that takes it out of its literal context. But the literal reading of this Gemara, and again, that's only one level of understanding, it very, very likely means something else. But it would read that that man had relations with all the different animals before the woman was created. That's Shebo Odom al Kol Behem of Achaya. He had relations with all these animals. Veloniskar Daito, he didn't have peace of mind. Ad Shebo al Chava, until he had intimacy with Chava, with Eve, the first woman. The Omar Rebbe Elazar, Mai Dichtiv, Venivruchu Vachol Kol Mishpchois Adama. That's a Posuk that you find spoken by the Almighty to Avram Avinu, to Abraham. And through the, again here, the literal translation of the Pasuk would be that through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Omar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. However, here now, the Chazal explain, darshaning the word v'nivrechu, he says, "Shtei brechois toivois yeshli lahavrich boch." Havrocha is an agricultural process where a branch of a vine is bent somewhere in the middle and placed, and earth is you bend it over. The grapevine is any vine is, it grows a lot. If you don't support it with stakes, it will grow on the ground. This is a process where you take one of the vine branches and bend it in the middle and cover it with dirt, and a new plant will develop from that. A new root system will grow, and a new plant grows from the bent branch that's bent, as I said, covered with dirt. That's Havrocha in general. So for our purposes, we're going to explain this as the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu that there are two new, we'll say, plants, two new extensions that I want to come from you. In other words, we're going to describe people, two famous people, that are not from the Jewish people, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants them to be attached to the Jewish people to produce a special lineage. So Hashem says to Avram, there's shtei brechos, the word v'nivrechu v'cha, two new extensions from you that I want to appear. Rus hamo'aviyo v'namo hamoines. Rus is probably the more famous of the two women, but she is a Moabite woman, and she was she converted and joined the Jewish people. And Naamo Ho'amoines, Naamo was a wife of Shlomo HaMelech, the mother of Rechavam, the next king after Shlomo HaMelech. So you have two women that were attached to the Jewish people for producing that particular lineage. Kol Mishpachos HaAdama, that's the pasuk we just read. Afilu Mishpachos HaDoros BaAdama Ein Mizbachos Ela B'Shvil Yisrael. Even families or people that live in the ground, and one of the commentaries points out even people that live in caves, in other words, people that are seemingly far removed from the Jewish people, but through the Jewish people they receive their bracha. Their bracha can often be interchanged with the concept of plenty. So that in the merit of the Jewish people, so even nations that live in the ground will be blessed. Kol goyei haaretz, afilu sfinoi sabos migalya laspamya, even boats that are on the high seas traveling, sailing from Galya to Aspamya, to distant nations, ein mizbarchos elo b'shvi Yisrael, they are blessed, receive plenty in the merit of the Jewish people. V'omar Rav Elozer, asidim kol balei umaniyos sheyamdu al hakarka. A time will come in the future when all craftsmen, all artisans, will leave their crafts and be involved with agricultural activity, with plowing and harvesting. Shenemar v'yordu mei oniyosehem kol toifsei moshoit malochim kol choivlei hayom El Haoretz Yamodu. The pasuk describes all types of seafarers and sailors that will abandon their ships and engage in work of the land. V'yomar Rav Elozer, Ein Lucha Umanus Pchusa Min HaKarka. Shenemar V'yordu. In the pasuk we just read, you saw the beginning of the pasuk V'yordu. The drush of Rav Elozer is saying that there is no, we'll say, more lowly activity than a person who works the land, who's attached to the land. The Tosfos raises a seeming inconsistency here, because just above, Rav Elozer said, anyone who doesn't have land is not considered a person. So the Tosfos says, Shein lucha uminos pusa, afal gav, the Rebbe Elozer gufei, even though the second diamond of Rebbe Elozer had said, Komar leo kol adam shein lo karka eino, although a person who doesn't have land is not a person. So chlomar karka livnois olov. That's a reference to ground, land on which to build. Vagam litzorch mizonosov. Kedomar papa besomuch as Rav Papa says shortly, Zrava lo tasvum. V'ochemayir be'odam she'ikur umenuso b'karka. There's the idea of having land from which you derive your sustenance, and then there's this idea of being attached to land that all of your activity is devoted to the maintenance of the land. So you can have a person that owns land, and there are some, he has a grove of trees that produce food for him, and he doesn't have to invest too much effort in order to derive his sustenance. That's one thing. But then there is a situation where a person, in order to survive, he has to work all the time at the land. That's what he's referring to here. Rabbi Lozar, we continue in the Gemara, and we should point out also we have a new marking on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading, Sidra Shel Maisim Ve'etzis Be'inyan Parnosa, V'Shvochei Shel Iska. It was a series of comments that are made regarding income, and the Gemara will be praising the idea of commercial activity. Iska is a, generally speaking, is where a person buys merchandise in one area and sells it at a profit in another area. So the Gemara says, Rav Elozer Chazio Lahi Aro Deshodi Bei Karbo Lepusya. Rav Elozer noticed a piece of land where Karbo, there are two Lashonos in Rashi. One is that Kruv, a type of vegetation, was planted in that land, and Lepusya would mean in its width. In the width of each row, there was this vegetation, the kruv, was planted. Another explanation of karba is an expression, it's a word meaning plowing. So that if you take that approach, it would mean that it's the land was plowed in its width. Omale, Rabbi Lozer says, "Itashte leurke." Even if you were to plant the rows in their length, or even if you try to plow it again, hafuche biisko tovloch, be better for you to invest your energies in iska. And we said before that would mean to buy merchandise in one place and sell it at a profit in another place. Rav Earl Lebeni Shivli. Rav walked amongst the stalks that were growing. Chazinu de Kanaifon. He saw that they were blowing in the wind, blowing one on the other. Omer lehu, inaifis isnufi. If you want to blow, blow. Hafuchi beiska tov minach. Better, though, would be to invest in business commercial activity. Omer rova, meo zuzi beiska, kol yoimo bisra v'chamra. Person who invests 100 zuz in and iska, so every day he'll have wine, meat and wine. Me'al zuzi ba'ara, but the same amount invested in ground, in the earth, milcha v'chafura, salt and chafura. Rashi says, on chafura, shachas is, it's grains that one harvests before they're fully developed, so that all that one will be able to eat will be this, will so called grasses and salt. Velo od elo meganyo le'aro umaramyo le'tigra. Not only that, but if a person has invested in land, so he'll end up having to sleep on the floor, meganyos, to sleep on the ground as in order to watch it, to keep it from others claiming it to be theirs, and Tigra, and it causes land ownership also in causes people to have controversy, to have fights with others claiming it as theirs. There's always a certain tension involved in land ownership. Omar Rav Papa. Here you'll notice we have a few line, a long marking for Rav Papa's comment. Omar Rav Papa, Zra Velo Tazvin. That means better to plant grains for your home consumption and don't buy grains from the market. Afagav dechiadodi ninu, even though they are the same, they're the same quantity or the same cost, honey mivruchan, the grains that you draw from your own field, they have greater blessing in them. Zovin velo tezol. Now, if we look in Rashi, velo tizvon, lo tikne tvua min hashuk, that we should look at the next Rashi also. Afagav dechi adodi ninu, afilu chitin bezol v'karkecha eino choshev v'ein lecha sachar. Afilu hachi hani mizborchen brocha mitzvah bedover she'ein lokech bedomim v'ein kolomaher. There is blessing. There is plenty that is in that which you have that you don't buy with money. Things that you buy with money end up being used up faster. There's a Rashi also zovan velo tezol. We have in our Gemara that girsa. Mechor klei tashmishcha v'ishtamesh bedomim beprakmatia kodim shetovo lidei anius. That means sell off your own personal wares and use the money for prakmatia, for investments, as we said, merchandising, but buying merchandise in one area, selling it off somewhere else, and do all of that before you come to impoverishment. So that's the Eitzah Rav Papa is giving, the counsel that he's giving, Zovin Velo Tezel. Better to sell off your wares, and if that's what you need to do to get to create cash flow, and then buy merchandise and profit with it before you come to impoverishment. Hani mili bistarki, the idea of selling off your own housewares, that's when it comes to bistarki. Rashi says clay habayas, utensils, household utensils. Avol glima lo misramile, but we're not suggesting that you sell your glima. That's a type of overcoat that one wears. Rashi says shilis kabe bilivishosa, it's something that increases your honor when you wear it. That we're not saying to sell off to get to create the cash flow. And why is that? Because who says you're going to find another one, an alternative one later? So reading that again in the Gemara, avoglimo lo misram yole kideboy. But with regard to the idea of creating a cash flow through glimo sales, that no, because who says you're going to find a good one, a suitable one? How do you like the pun there? A suitable one. Who says you're going to find one later? We continue with more aces from Rav Papa. Toim velo tashpitz, shvots velo tivni. And we look at Rashi. There's a double star. The word tome means to seal something up. So there, at the double star, im yesh lecha chor koton b'kais ru'a, if you have a small hole in a shaky wall, sisoim oisoi miat, seal it immediately. Velo tarchiv v'nekev l'shapetz boi tit ulevenim harbe liaposo. Better to seal it immediately before it widens, and that will necessitate your need for mortar and bricks in order to improve it. And the word shpots, so that we said to better seal the small hole as soon as it develops, instead of what's modern Hebrew, you hear the term shipusim, improvements, home improvements, we're talking about wall improvements. So better to seal the hole when it's very small before you come to the need for shiputz. However, shpots velo tivni. So on this Rashi says shpots im baal nefesh ata lanois binyonecha, if you're someone that likes beautiful structures, harchev anekev v'shaptzehu liosyofe, better to widen the hole and add all kinds of improvements there. Better that than velo tivni. Rashi says lo tapilus kol hakoysel v'tivneo, better than knocking down the entire wall and rebuilding it. So why is Rav Papa telling you to avoid building from the scratch? Shekol ha'oisek v'vinyan, the Gemara says, mis masken. All those who invest in building building from scratch, end up impoverished. Kvoitz zovin ara, mosu nosivitza. When it comes to an opportunity to purchase land, so grab the opportunity, jump upon it, seize upon the opportunity, don't dilly-dally before buying land. However, when it comes to nosivitza, marrying a woman, nos mosun. Mosun, what does that mean? Mosun is, you don't jump into it. Rashi says, mosun nosivitza, hamtein, wait, achi tivdoik ma'asel, shalo te'e, ra'al v'kantaronis. Check out her ways, her characteristics, her attributes. Make sure that she's not a bad woman and a cantankerous woman. We continue with more Eitzes. Nochis darga nosiv itza. When it comes to choosing a mate, a wife, so you don't choose a woman that's more important than you, more miyuchas than you, that she's more choshev, because that could lead to a situation where she will look down upon you. So nosiv, the Gemara's nochis darga, go down a step and then take a wife, not to take a wife that's above you. Sok darga bechar shushbina. And the opposite is true when it comes to choosing a shushbina, a close friend, someone who is going to be your confidant or your close friend. Choose a person that is higher than you, that's more important than you, and cling unto him. Omar Rav Elazar bar Avina, ein puran esbol liolam elo b'shvil Yisrael. So here we have a comment that if you didn't know you were learning the Daf Gemara, you would think this is coming from some type of arch anti-Semite. But let's just translate it. It says that puranus, punishment or troubles, do not come to the world other than because of the Jews. Shenemar, Hichrati goyim noshamu pinoisam, Hichrafti chutzoisam. The pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has destroyed nations. Uksiva marti ach tiri osi tikhi musar. The Rashi explains that it is the Jewish people need to straighten out. They need to become more God-fearing. So in order to put the fear of the Lord into their hearts, Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring puronus upon the world. There will be there could be mass devastation, nations being destroyed, and all of that in addition to the actual sins of those particular nations. But there's another agenda over here, and that is to create fear in the hearts of the Jews, as Rashi says, the Yarom Kidei Shiasu B'tshuva, to put fear in their hearts so that they will repent. But nevertheless, this statement is quite profound, that all troubles in the world come because of the Jewish people. And it doesn't mean for one second that if you get rid of the Jewish people so the troubles will go away. That, the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, the world cannot exist without Jews. The pasuk that we read, indicating that Pu'onus comes to the world, was Hichrati. We're reading this again. Hichrati Goyim, I cut off nations, Noshamu Pinoisam, and I left desolate their corners, Hechrafti Chutzosim, and I destroyed their markets, their areas. Uksiv Amarti Ach Tir'i Osi Tikhi Musar. And you can see in the same context where the Kodesh Baruch Hu is interested in the Jewish people accepting chastisement and straightening out their ways. Rav Hava Mifter Mirebi Chiyo. Rav was departing from Rebbe Chiyo Marlei, and he said, Rachmona litzloch mimidi dekoshe mimoisa. The Almighty should save you, protect you from something that's more more difficult, more painful than death. Miiko mimidi dekoshe mimoisa. Is there something that's more painful than death? Nofak doch viashkach. So he went out and checked this matter. He investigated and found, the pasuk says, "Umotze ani mar mimoves eso isha," and I found something more bitter than death the woman, the wife. Rav Hava Kometzara Lei Devisu. Rav was afflicted, was oppressed by his wife. Ki Omar Lo Avidi Li Tlufchi, when Rav would request of his wife to prepare a dish known as Tlufchi, so Avdole Chimtzi. Instead, she would prepare for him Chimtzi. Chimtzi is a type of legume. Chimtzi Avdi Le Tlufchi. And if he asked for a dish of Chimtzi, she would make for him a dish of Tlufchi, some other type of vegetation. So, in other words, whatever Rav requested, so she did something else. Ki godo chiyobre apichlo. When Chiyo, the son of Rav, got older, so he switched things around. In other words, if he, Chiyo, the son of Rav, knew that his father wanted tlufchi, he would ask his mother, would you make chimtzi? Now, knowing that upon hearing instructions to make chimtzi, she'll make tlufchi. So by requesting the opposite of what his father wanted, the end result would be what his father wanted. Omar Lei, so Rav says to his son, Ialya loch imoch, has your mother improved? Because Rav was being fed that which he really wanted. So Omar Lei, so Chiyo said to his father, Anohu dekoafichna lo, I put in the request in the opposite fashion. Omar Lei, Rav said, Hainu dekoamri inshi, it's based on an incident like this that people would say, or what people would say is appropriate for this incident, the nafik minoch taimo malfoch. He who comes forth from you, and as your descendants, they teach you taimo malfoch. They teach you wisdom. So that Rav was impressed with this method of getting the right food. However, at lo tavid hochi, do not continue behaving this way. Because what are you saying? Yes, you know that I want tlufchi. You go and you tell your mother that dad wants chimtzi, knowing full well that if she hears chimtzi, she'll make tlufchi. Don't do that, because the pasuk says limdu l'shenem daber sheker ha'avei v'chule. The pasuk exhorts against teaching to lie, and in fact, doing this, you're getting yourself accustomed to telling an untruth, to lying. Rabbi Chiyo have kometzara lei divisu. Now the double underline we featured on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. These are Maisim im Amoroyim Shenishosem Tziro Lehem. Incidents with Amoroyim whose wives caused them pain, were oppressive, were difficult to be with. Here you have something also just on a called a side comment basis. When we speak about the likes of Rav or Rabbi Chiyo, these are people whose righteousness level is something that we cannot begin to perceive. So that these very great men had wives that were difficult to live with, to put it mildly, and yet that's what they had. So one must conclude, as we alluded to earlier in our previous, in the earlier part of today's shiur, when we spoke about zocha, then ozraso lo zocha kenegdo, the issue has to do with a person having merits, and the merits, a person gets that not necessarily only through his own kiyum hamitzvahs and his own non-sinning. There are other factors involved. And it would seem to be that's the case over here, that Rav went through this tsar with his wife because of some other factors beyond the realm of simple sinning and mitzvah performance. And likewise here, Reb Chiyo had a wife that was mitzayer him, that caused him pain. Ki hava mashkach midi, when he, Rabbi Chiya, would find something, Sayer le besudre umaisi ni'alah, he would wrap it up in a cloth and bring it to his wife as a gift. So that if we look in Rashi, Kiav Mishkach Midi, Davar HaRoyla, when he would find something that was fit for his wife, something that she would like, so he would take that item, wrap it up, and bring it to her as a gift. Omar Le Rav. Rav, who just so happened to be Reb Chiya's nephew, so Rav says to Reb Chiya, V'ha ko mitzara le lamor. Your wife causes you a lot of pain. How is it that you bring her gifts all the time? Omar Le, so Reb Chiya answers, Dayenu shemagadlois bonenu umatzilois oisonu min, we're at the top of Omid Beis min achet. That even if it's hard to live with her, she is a cantankerous woman, or she contradicts everything I say, or whatever, it's enough that she raises our children, and she protects us, she saves us from sin. What does that mean, to save us from sin? Rashi says, min hachet hirur avera. The fact that a person has a wife, so he can... His thoughts concerning women, which is certainly a natural tendency of men, he can focus them on those kind of thoughts on his wife, so he's safe from hirhur avera. And of course, having the ability to engage in intimacy with one's wife also will prevent this from happening. Of course, we're hopeful that it'll prevent this from happening. Hirhur avera, thoughts of an immoral nature. Makri le Rav Yehuda le Rav Yitzchak Brei. Rav Yehuda was teaching his son Rav Yitzchak. Makri is to teach psukim. So Rav Yehuda was teaching his son Rav Yitzchak. V'moitze ani mar mimoves es ha'isha. The pasuk in Kehelet says, and I found something more bitter than death, and that is the woman. Amar le kagon man, so Rav Yehuda was teaching his son, so his son asks his father, who's an example of that, of a woman that's more bitter than death? So he answers, the father answers, kagon imcha, someone like your mom. The Gemara asks a question, notice it lasts a couple of lines, Amy, is that so? Vaha masni le Rav Yehuda le Rav Yitzchak Brei. But the same father-son team, you have the father teaching his son the following: Ein odam moitzei kairas ruach elo meishto rishona. A person does not experience peace of mind other than through his first wife. Shenemar yi mekor chaboruch usmach meishes neurecha. V'yomar lei, and the son, after hearing his father teach this, says, Kigon man, who is an example of a woman that provides this peace of mind to her husband? So he answers, kagon imcha, someone like your mom. So that your mom is a seemingly wonderful lady. So how can, in the discussion just before, where Rav Yehuda was teaching his son, and in response to his son's question, he says, well, if you want to know an example of someone like that, that's marmi mobis, that's more bitter than death, your mom. So how can you say that your mom is more bitter than death, and your mom is also the source of my peace of mind? So the answer is as follows. Maskif tkifa. She's a type of woman that gets riled up, that gets enraged quickly. V'avure mavra b'mila. And she becomes calmed or assuaged with just a mere word. In other words, she might have a quick temper, she might be a type of person that becomes enraged, but it's very easy to cool her down. Hechi domi isha ra. What's an example of a woman that we can classify as a bad wife? Omar Abaye, Mekashto le tako umekashto le puma. There are different possible translations of this line. We're going to go with the Rashi explanation, and that is that she mekashta le taco. Taco is a table, so she decorates a table. Could be the idea of her setting up a table for a meal, and then umekashta le puma. So this Rashi says lekale legadif adzman suda kedei letzaro. And even though she's setting up a beautiful table, she's cursing out her husband until the actual meal begins, in order to pain him. That's what's alluded to. Makashta le puma, that through her mouth, puma's a mouth, so she curses him out until mealtime. Rava Omar. Rava also explains what's an Isha Ra. It says, Mekashto le taka, umahadra le gabo. So we look at Rashi again on the second line. Umahadra le gabo, shelo lechol imo umitzaroso. She prepares a meal, she prepares the table and a meal, but when it comes to the actual eating, she turns her back on him to eat somewhere else. So, that's an example, a second example of an Isha Ra. Omar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Kevon Shenos Odom Isha Avinosov Mispakikin. When a person marries a woman, so the sins that he's committed are Mispakikin, they become sealed up. Shenemar Motza Isha Motza Toiv Vayofek Rotzoin Me'ashem. So in this pasuk it says, man finds a wife, she's found good, and vayofek, that's this idea of the sins being sealed up. And of course, when we say sealed up, it means sealed up and removed, and no threat to you. B'marava, in Eretz Yisrael, kinosiv inish itza, when a man would marry a woman, amri lehachi, they would turn to the groom and ask, Motza o Motze? Very short question. Motza o Motze? And now, what's the explanation? Motza dichtiv, Motza isha, Motza tov. Are you someone that has found a wife that can be equated with having found something good? Now, Motze, what's that an allusion to? Dichtiv u Motze ani mar mimoves eso isha. I have found that which is more bitter than death, the wife. So in Eretz Yisrael, they would ask a man, seeming newlywed, did you find something that's good, or did you find something that's no good? Omar Rava, we have a new marking, and on the side under the Nosei, Mivne heading, the triangle introduced Sidra, Shel Memros, Shel Rava, Beinyon Isha Ra, a series of comments made by Rava that are related to an evil or bad woman. Omar Rava, Isha Ra Mitzvah Legarsha, a bad wife, it is a mitzvah to divorce her. Tichtiv, Goresh Leitz V'yetze Modoin V'yishbois Din V'koloin. Goresh is to divorce, to set, distance, to set out of your midst the scoffer, and with that you avoid a strife in your house. V'omar Rava, Isha Ra Uksubasa Maruba, a bad wife, however, it's not so easy to get rid of her, because the ksuba, this is the money that a man is obligated to pay in the event that he divorces his wife, and it happens to be a lot of money. That's a large, maruba means a lot, a large ksuba, large amount to be paid to her. So how do you improve your situation? How do you make the bad wife better? So the eitza is tsarasa betzida. A tsara is a co-wife. So Rashi says, yisa acheres etzla, marry a second wife. The Gemara continues, the Amri Inshi, people say, Bechaverta velo besilta. Rashi says, Bechaverta mekabeles teichocha yoiser. She accepts more chastisement by having a co-wife to contend with. In other words, she sees that there's competition, so she's going to straighten out because she wants to. She now knows that she doesn't have a monopoly on her husband. Tosfos adds here, Sorosa Bitsido, Rava Litame. Rava here is consistent with what he has said, what he says elsewhere. The Omar Besoif Pirkin, he says at the end of the Perek, Noisei Odom Kama Noshim Alishto, that there is that a person is entitled to have multiple wives. Let's continue in the Gemara. We should translate, though, the last phrase, the Amri Inshi, people say, Bechaverta Velo Basilto, meaning she'll accept more chastisement through a co-wife, through competition, more than being pierced by a thorn. The Omar Rava, Kosha Ishara Kiyom Sagrir. It is difficult to withstand, the difficulty of withstanding a bad wife is like a day of hail and winds. Shenemar Delef Toireid Biyoim Sagrir V'Eishes Midyonim Nishtova. The Eishes Midyonim is a woman of strife, is equal to this type of inclement weather, as the Posuk mentions. V'Omar Rova Bo Ure'e Kama Toiva Isha Toiva V'Kama Ra Isha Ra. So here's a point that lasts a number of lines, and Rava wants to make the point of how extremely good a good wife is, and how, to the contrary, a bad wife is. Kama toivo isha toivo. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, Motsa isha motsa toiv. Now, we saw this pasuk cited earlier. This is a pasuk from Mishle, and it's worth noting that the book of Mishle is understood in general to be, if they're analogies, and they have to do with Torah learning. So the pasuk says motza isha motza tov I begavo mishtoi kra. If the pasuk is talking about an actual wife, begavo means within her, meaning focused on an actual woman, then kama toivo isha toivo sharkosuv mishabchon. How wonderful it is to have a good wife, that it is the focus, it's the subject of a verse that praises her. Iba Torah Mishtoi Kron, if the Pasuk is really referring to the Torah, and it refers to the Torah in terms of a woman, so Kama Toiva Isha Toiva, you see how wonderful a good wife is, Sha Torah Nimshalaba, that the Torah is being compared to her. Then there's no greater entity than the Torah in our world. And if that is the case, that the Pasuk is referring to the Torah, then, and it's being compared to a woman, a good woman, so you can imagine how great that is. Kama ra isha ra, how bad it is to have a bad wife. Dechtiv umoitse ani mar mimoves eso isha. Ibegavo mishtoi kra, if the Pasuk is talking about a woman, so it's then very clear, Kama Ro Isha Ro, Shakosu Megana, how bad it is to have a bad wife, that the Pasuk describes her in such negative terms. Now, Iba Gehenna Mishtoikra, there's an alternative understanding of the Pasuk, that it's a reference, it's an analogy to purgatory. So, Kama Ro Isha Ro, She Gehenna Nimshilaba, how bad it is to have a bad wife, that Gehenna, that purgatory, is compared to her. You know, on a certain manner, a certain level of understanding, one might actually look at a situation like this and flip things around and say, well, if a person is consigned to a bad wife, then at least it has the purging capacity of purgatory, or just like Gehenna cleanses one of sin, so a person who's able to endure a bad wife, it can be imagined as that's a process of cleansing from sin. All of this, of course, is assuming that the husband is a proper individual, is behaving in a proper way, and not be the cause of the Isha Ra. Obviously, then he has it coming to him. We have a structural note on the side where we feature diamonds numbered 1 through 3, and a double underline appears also. These are three psukim shenidrishu shemityachasim liisha ra uksubasim ruba, to the situation we touched on before, where a man has a bad wife, but it's not so easy to get rid of her, to divorce her, because that would involve him paying an exorbitant amount of money. The Gemara. Hinani mevi ra asher lo yuchlu lotseis mimena. The prophet describes evil that will be brought upon people that he will not be able to extricate themselves from. What is that evil that a person can't get out of? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua, Zu Isha Ra'a, Uksubasa Maruba. That's the description of a man married to a bad wife, but has obligated himself to pay an exorbitant amount of money upon her divorce. The Pasuk says, Nesonani Hashem Bidei Lo Uchalkum. Hashem, the Almighty, has put me in the hands of someone that I cannot stand up to. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Mar Ukva Bar Chia, Zu Isha Ra'a Uksubasa Maruba. That's an example of a man who's married to a bad wife and has an exorbitant ksuba to pay. Bemarova Omru, in Eretz Yisrael, they have a different take on this pasuk. Ze Shemezeinosev Tluyun Bekaspo. This is a person whose maintenance, whose food, is dependent on his cash. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, She'ein lo zriya bekark. He doesn't have any things planted in his in a field. The Choshah, Meitzar, V'doig, at all times he's concerned, he's preoccupied and worried, Shemot Yakirat Fua, O Yunalu Sharei Shever. He has a certain finite amount of money and he's worried that the cost of grains will increase, or that the markets will be locked up and he'll have nothing. If a person has property with food growing on it, so he doesn't have that worry. The Pasuk says, Bonecha v'nosecha nesunim liam acher. Omar Rav Chonon bar Rava, Omar Rav Zu Eshes Ho'av. That's a situation where a man has a wife that's not the mother of his children. So that's as if his sons and daughters are given over to another nation. Begoy Novol Achisem. I will enrage them, the Almighty says, in chastising the Jewish people. I will enrage them with a lowly nation. Omar Rav Chonon bar Rava Omar Rav Zu Isha Ra Uksubasa Meruba. Another example of a pasuk that focuses on a man married to a bad wife, and on the other hand, he can't get out of it because he has a very large ksuba that he has to pay up. And we noted that was Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation of this pasuk, Begoy Novol Achisem Elu Hatzedukim. That's a reference to the Sadducees. V'cheinu Omer, Omar Novol Belibo Ein Elokim. The churl says in his heart, and he denies the existence of the Almighty. And that is what the Tzedukim were guilty of. The term Tzeduki in the Gemara can also be a veiled hint or a reference to apostates, and hence the Gemara is quoting this pasuk that the Novol is someone who says, who's a denier of the divine. B'masniso tana Elu Anshe Barbaria V'Anshe Martenoi. The pasuk describes the pasuk of Goy Novol Achisem is a reference to people from these lands, Barbaria and Martinoi, Shemahalchim Arumim Bashuk. They walk unclothed in the public. She'ein L'chom Meshukat Zimituav L'fnei Amokom. There is nothing more reprehensible and disgusting in front of Hashem, Yosem Yimishem Ahalech Bashuk Arum, more than someone who walks naked in public. A fourth approach, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Elu Chaborim. It's a reference to a nation of people called the Chaborim. Omru Leil Rabbi Yochanan, Osi Chabori Lebovel. Rabbi Yochanan was informed that the Chabori have arrived in Babylonia. Shoga Nofal. He bent over and fell out of pain of hearing this bad news. Omrulei, they told Rabbi Yochanan, Mekabli Shochada. There are kind of people that can be bought off. You can bribe them. Toritz Yosef, he straightened up and sat upright. Gozru al Shlosha Mipnei Shlosha. There's a note in Rashi. We have a star. You can see Rashi says, Omrulei al Shlosha Gozru. Omar Lahem Mipnei Shlosha Veros Shahoyu Biad Bnei Bavel. In other words, the Chabori came with three harsh edicts, and Rabbi Yochanan tells them he understood why that happened. He sees the divine hand and says it's a result of three sins of the people. Gozru al Habasar, and this as we are making this recording, this Gemara sounds awfully contemporary, but Rashi says Gozru al Basar shelo yochlu basar shchuta, and they made an edict forbidding slaughter of meat, kosher slaughtering. In other words, the translation of Rashi is they made exer that you shall not eat properly slaughtered meat. A very contemporary sounding thing as we are making this recording. How many countries in the world are adding this to their list of we'll call it means of oppressing the Jews in the veiled context of animal rights and whatever else have you. But nevertheless, when you see this happening, he says mitnei hamatonis. What does that mean? Because the Jewish people were not diligent in giving the kohanim their rightful portion of slaughtered meat. The Torah provides for kohanim to receive from every slaughtered animal. This has nothing to do with sacrifices, but rather from common animals that one slaughters. They are to receive the forearm, that's the zra, the lechayayim, the cheek and tongue, and the cave on the stomach of all animals. And they were not diligent in that. So if you're not diligent in the meat that you slaughter, so you lose out altogether in slaughtering meat. Gozru al hamer chatzois mitnei hatvila. They ruled against having bathhouses available, and that's because people were not careful with proper immersion. Ko mechatati shachvi, and they would exhume the dead from their graves. Mitnei shesmeichem biyoyim edom. Another very, very contemporary sounding problem, and this is that the Jewish people would rejoice on their holidays, so that when the Goyim have their holidays, so let them be well, so to speak, let the Goyim enjoy their holidays. That doesn't mean that the Jewish people have to celebrate the Gentile holidays in festivity, so that they were joyful during their holidays, their idolatrous holidays, and as a result of that, even the dead don't enjoy peace. These goyim would exhume the dead from their graves. Shenemar v'hoiso yad Hashem bochem uve'avoisechem. The hand of the Lord will punish them and their forebears. Their forebears that already are dead. How could that be? So we just explained through their bodies being exhumed. Omar Rabo Bar Shmuel Zu Chatuti Shachvi. The pasuk that we just read is a reference to Chatuti, is to dig out the Shachvi, the dead. Domar Mar Bavon Chaim, through the sins of the living, Mesim Mischatitim, the dead are exhumed. Omar Le Rovo Le Rabo Bar Mori. Ksiv Lo Ye Asfu Velo Ye Kavru L'doymen al penei wadomo yu. One pasuk says that regarding the deceased, the dead, they won't be gathered and they will not be buried. They will be like dung on the face of the ground. Uksiv v'nivchar moves mechayim. Another pasuk says that they will choose death over life. And Rashi explains what the problem is over here. That after the pasuk of lo yasvu lo yikavru, they won't be buried. The pasuk then says they'll choose death over life. Well, why would anyone choose death if they're not going to be dealt with properly in death? They won't be buried. How could the living choose death when that will be their fate? Omar le nivchar moves lo rishoyim shelo yichyu ba'olam hazeh. The drasha of this pasuk says v'nivchar moves l'chayim means it's better for the wicked to die than to continue living and sinning and end up in Gehenna, in purgatory. So that Rashi, we see there's a Rashi where we have a double star. Omar le hai nivchar lo ka'omar. The pasuk is not like we thought that the people will be choosing death over life. Rather, the prophet is telling them, better for the wicked to die than continue living and sinning. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating a new section of Mar, even though it continues with the topic of Isha Ra and Isha Toiva. Nevertheless, we're treating this as a separate trend of thought because we're featuring Sefer Ben Sira. And that's what our topic heading is. Kosuv B'Sefer Ben Sira. The following is written in Sefer Ben Sira. Exactly what this work is, there is a discussion amongst the commentaries, but one thing is for sure, it's Sefer Ben Sira, though it might very well date to the era of the prophets, it is not classified as a holy book. Hence, it's not part of the canonized Tanakh. It's a book of work that has in it points of wisdom that the Shas cites on occasion. So it says in this book called Sefer, the book of Ben Sira. Isha toiva matana toiva b'chek yirei l'kim tinosein. A good wife is a pleasant gift. It is given to the into the bosom of a God fearing individual. Now that doesn't mean that one can infer that a bad wife is given to a non God fearing person, because we saw before, the greatest of our people, the likes of Rav and Reb Chiya, they had women that the Gemara describes as Isha Ra, and they were the ultimate in God-fearing individuals. But nevertheless, if one is God-fearing, it's reasonable to see a correlation between one's God-fearingness and the receipt, the merit of having a good wife. Isha ra tsaras lebalo. A bad wife is like the tsaras, skin affliction, to her husband. Maita kante. What is the solution for a man that suffers from a bad wife? Yigarshena v'yisrape mitzaraso. Divorce her, and you are thereby healed from your tsaras. Isha yofa ashrei baila. A beautiful woman, fortunate is her husband. Mispar yomov kiflayim. His life is as if it were doubled. Rashi says, "Klomar, somech bechelka v'doyma lo ki'ilu yom of kifam." He's so happy having this beautiful wife that he feels that he has an especially long life. Ha'aleim einecho me'esh eschein. Look aside from. Do not focus on. Look away from a a woman married to others, a charming woman that's married to someone else, avoid her, pantilokeid b'mitzudasa, so as not to become entrapped in her net. Al teit etzel baila, don't go over, don't veer over toward her husband, limsochi mo yayin b'shecher, to have drinks of wine and beer. Ki b'toar isha yofa rabim hushchesu v'atsumim kol harugel, because in the beauty of a gorgeous woman, many have been destroyed and many have died. This advice is something that one should ponder and take to heart, especially in societies where there's a great deal of contact between the different genders of charming women, and we're talking especially in the context of their being married women. Men should know how to avoid having contact with them. Rabim hoyu pitzei roichel hamargilim lidvar erva kenitzotz mavir gacheles kekluv mole oif kein boteim maleim mirma. So now we take a look at Rashi. The Pasuk describes as many are the bruises absorbed by the roichel. What's a roichel? Rashi says, "Hamoicher b'somim l'noshim l'skashi v'hem," a person who sells perfumes to women for their own own improvement. L'skashi often means for their decoration or beautification. So we're talking about the perfume salesman, umotsi bo niuf, ubo bailo upotso. What happens is these people have dealings with women, and they might, in fact, a rochel is a person who's a vendor. He goes to their houses, and then the husbands of these women customers come home and see the rochel, see the perfume salesman there, suspects them of foul play, or it's maybe, in fact, foul play is common by them, and the husbands beat them up. So that's what the Gemara means when it says Rabim hoyu pitzei rocha hamargilim lidvar erva. They're common, commonly found in immorality. The next expression was kenitzot mavir gacheles. Rashi says kenitzot mavir. Kanitzos H, like a spark of fire, Hamavir Gacheles, that lights a coal, Kain Yitzro Mavir, so too his passion inflames him. The next description was Kikluv, as a kluv is a cage, Mole Oif, like a cage full of birds, their boteim, their houses are filled with deceit. The next point in the Gemara, Al Teitzar Tzoras Mochar, one shouldn't be overly concerned with the troubles of tomorrow. Kilo Teida Ma Yeled Yom. A person doesn't know what the next day will bring. Shema Mochar Ba, the next day might come. V'einenu, and he is dead. He dies before tomorrow comes. Nimtso Mitzar Al Ha'ulam She'en Shelo, and the result is that he was all worried about a world that he is not a part of. Mina rabi mitoch beisecha, v'lo hakol tovu beisecha. Your house should not be a central bus station or a train station. Your house is not a place for the public to assemble. That's mina, is to restrain the masses from coming in your house, and don't bring just anybody into your house. Well, that sounds like a person should become a hermit. Not so. Rabim yu dorshe shlomicha. The many should be those that seek out your welfare. In other words, you should be a nice guy, that people should be interested in your welfare. People should ask, how are you doing? But at the same time, in order to achieve that, that does not necessitate your hosting the masses in your house. Galei soid le'echod me'elef, as far as matters of privacy or secrecy, reveal them to only 1 out of 1,000. Omar Rabbi Asi, Ein ben David ba ad sheichlu kol haneshama shebaguf. The Ben David, the Moshiach, the Redeemer, will not come until all the souls in the guf have been cleared out. The guf is a spiritual, it's a container or entity in which the souls that were created at the beginning of time are located. And through procreation, through birthing children, the souls descend from this entity called guf, and with that entity being cleared out of all the souls, then the Redeemer comes. Shenema ki ruach milfonai ya'atof uneshamois ani osisi. The Rashi says Shenema ki ruach milfonai ya'atof hageula uneshamos shani osisi ya'atof. And the Rashi says umeseife lureshe midrash. The pasuk is darshan from the end toward the beginning, so that through the I will bring the geula, that's the atof, through the clearing out of the souls, the spirits. The Gemara continues, and we note on the side we have a nosei topic heading: Deos Tanoim al mi she'eno oisek b'piri v'ribya. Different Tanaic expressions or opinions regarding one who does not engage in procreation. In other words, people who decide to remain singles, avoid marriage. So, by definition, they are not participating in period of Arabia. They're not participating in procreation. So, what do the Chazal have to say about that situation? Editorially speaking, we're not making light of the situation of trying to find a proper mate. On the other hand, there is no Torah justification for a person remaining unmarried. There's a certain amount of flexibility that a person has to have, willingness to give things a try, etc., when it comes to choosing a mate. So, as we say, on the one hand, it's a serious matter. People have to, as we saw in a previous Gemara, mosav mosav nosav itza, one has to not jump into a marriage, but check it out, make sure that the woman that a man is choosing is a proper type woman, a proper wife. But with that having been said, one cannot hide behind the that advice and say, well, it's just taking me an awfully long time to find the right woman, and all of this time, so he's not engaged in period of Arabia. So let's see how serious this matter really is. So we will see 4 comments. The number one, you will see in the Gemara, we have written on the side, Kilu Shofech Domim, he's considered as a murderer. He is Memayit Hadmus. He reduces the spirit, the divine presence. Goreim L'shchina Shetesalik Misra. He causes the divine presence to leave Israel. And a fourth is that he is Chayav Misa. He deserves to die. The Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol mi she'ein oisek b'piri v'ribya. Anyone who is not involved in trying to procreate, ki'ilu shoifech domim. It's as if he's shedding blood. Shenemar shofech dam ha'odom ba'odom domo yishofech. V'ksiv basrei v'atem pru'urvu. So by juxtaposition of verses, we see a pasuk describing a murderer, shofech dam ha'odom, and it is juxtaposed with the necessity of procreation. Hence, one who doesn't engage in procreation is considered like a murderer. Rabbi Yankiv Oimer, Ki'ilu Memayit Hadmus. The Dmus is a it's a spiritual phenomenon of the, let's we'll say, the presence of the Almighty. So it's as if you're reducing the presence of the Almighty by not engaging in Pirei V'Rivya. Shenema ki betzelem elokim asa es adam. So the man is created in the, what's often translated as in the image of God. God, of course, doesn't have a physical or corporeal image, but there is a there is an analogy to the attributes of God. So man is created in that spiritual image. Uksiv basrei, and again in juxtaposition, you have ve'atem pru uravu, the need for the commandment, the obligation of procreation. So if one is engaged in procreation, so he creates the image of God. And the opposite is also the point. And that's what Rabbi Yankiv is saying. Ben Azai Omer ki ilu shofech domim umemayit hadmus. He cites both. He's considered as a murderer and one who is responsible for reducing the divine image. Shenemar, it says, after both of these, it says, Ve'atem puruvu amru lo leben Azai. They turn to Ben Azai in amazement. Yesh noe dorish noe mekayim. There are those that preach nicely and live accordingly. In other words, they what we say in English, they practice what they preach. There are those noe mekayim ve'ein noe dorish, those that practice nicely, even though they're not necessarily those that lecture on the matter. Viata, but you are noedarish, you lecture nicely, say nice things. Vi ain't noe mekayim, but you don't practice what you preach. Ben Azai was one who was single. Omar Lohan Ben Azai. Ben Azai says back to them, Ma said, what can I do? Shinafshi Choshka B'Torah, my spirit, my soul desires Torah. Efshir Lo'olam Shizkayim Ayidei Achirim. It's possible for the world to be maintained by others. Ben Azai was extremely bound up with his Torah learning. He was so involved with it, he couldn't possibly treat a wife as a wife needs to be treated. So in the interests of his Torah learning, he chose this path of non-oisek b'pirei v'rivya. The Tosfos adds a little bit regarding Ben Azai. On the Tosfos says sheyiskayim ayde achirim afagav demash perik afalpi. Even though in the fifth perik of Ksubas it appears shenosa bito shel Rabbi Akiva, that he actually was married to the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. The Komar Hosom, it says there bartesh Rabbi Akiva afdolei leben Azai hochi, that as Rabbi Kiva's wife dealt with Rabbi Kiva, so Rabbi Kiva's daughter dealt with Ben Azai, indicating that Ben Azai was married. The Gemara answers, the Tosfos answers, Ha'omar b'per kama de sota, but it does say in Masechet Sota, de nasa v'giresh, that he was married, but he divorced. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya idach, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol mi she'ein oisik b'pir v'ribya, anyone who does not engage in procreation, ki'ilu shofech domim. It's as if he spills blood. Shenemar, shofech dam ha'adam, v'somechle v'atem pru ruvu. This drosha we saw in the source just before this, also with Rabbi Lezer, the opening of the immediate preceding source. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah Omer, ki'ilu m'mayit hadmus. Now, you see here a different name. This is, in this source, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying what in the source before we saw in the name of Rabbi Yankiv. Ben Azai Omer, v'chulei omru lo leben Azai yeshna adersh, etc. As far as this section of the source with Ben Azai, so it's the same as the source before, hence the Gemara just says v'chulei, etc., saving ink. Tanu Rabbanan, uvenuchoy yoimar. This pasuk is from the Torah where the Jewish people were traveling in the desert, and it says, and when they encamped, Shuvah Hashem rivavois alfei Israel. The Gemara continues at the top of Samach Dalid, Malamed. This teaches us She'ein Hashchina Shira Al Pochus Mishnei Alofu Mishnei Revavos Mishrael. The pasuk says Shuvah Hashem, the divine presence of the Almighty comes when you have Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. What is Rivavos Alfei? So a Rebo is 10,000. Revavos is the plural of that. That's 20,000. Alfei is the minimum plural of Elef, is 1,000 twice. Alfei would be 2,000. So there's a number referred to in this pasuk, namely 22,000. So that we derive from this, as the Gemara says here at the top line, this teaches us that the Shekhinah, the divine presence, does not dwell on less than Shnei Alofim Shnei Revavos. That's 22,000 Jews. Hare Shaho Yisrael Shnei Alofim Shnei Revavos. Choser Echad. Imagine a situation where the Jewish people were not 22,000, but rather 21,999. Vezeh Lo Asak. But amongst them is one fellow who remained single. He didn't engage in procreation. Is it not so that he causes the Shekhinah, the divine presence, to be removed from Israel? Abu Chonan Omar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Chayav Misa Shenemar. The pasuk that refers to the two eldest sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and as is known, they died in the service of the Mishkan on the first day of the erection of the Mishkan in the desert. It says regarding Nadav and Avihu, Ubonim lohoyu lohem, they did not have children. Ho hoyu lohem bonim, had they had children, lo mesu, they wouldn't have died. So since the pasuk feels it of importance to tell us that they didn't have children, we extrapolate that indicates had they had children, then they wouldn't have died. And that's what Abu Chonan is saying, that you see that not having children leads one to death. Chayav Misa. Acherim Oimrim Goyrem Lishchino Shetestalek Misrael. The drosh of the Acherim is similar to the number one above. However, he brings a different pasuk. Shnemar liyos l'chol l'kim ulazaracha acharecha. Bizman shizaracha acharecha, when you have children that follow you, that come after you, then shchina shara, then the divine presence dwells. Ein zaracha acharecha, if you don't have children, al mi shara, on what is the divine presence supposed to dwell? Al ha'etzim v'alvonim, on trees and stones, on houses, on monuments, on what? The divine presence is of significance, of value, when the divine presence is upon people, not upon the inanimate. So we come away from this Gemara with a very, very strong exhortation on the part of Chazal to marry and to Mirtz Hashem produce children. This is a topic that, once again, as we're making this recording, is a very current, timely topic that affects many, many amongst our people. So before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.